We present The Sound of Football.
Graham, with your reflective... I was going to say, with your reflective hat on, that would be some sort of, like...
like I used to wear in Slade.
Do you know what? Since week one, I didn't think we'd ever get
a Slade
reference. I'm going
to get a reflective hat now.
That could become a kind of part of the football vocabulary, couldn't it, really?
Part of my reflective hat.
Yeah, with your flares on. and your star-shaped guitar. And it's a very warm welcome to a special edition of The Sound of Football. Chris Oakley here as ever. But we are speaking to you on the evening. Well, in fact, as I speak, we're about 20 minutes away from the start of the 2010 Champions League final between Inter and Bayern Munich. Nearly forgot the other team. That would have been a bad start, wouldn't it? I have with me, I'm pleased to say, Graham Sibley. Welcome, Graham.
Hello.
Who we don't have, unfortunately, is Terry DeFellin. Terry's having a well-earned holiday at the moment, as we speak. Although, by the wonders of technology, we do have him speaking to us from time to time via Twitter. And Graham will be taking those messages and rushing them through to us, along with those messages which the great wider world will be saying on Twitter while the match is going on. So hopefully, Graham, you'll be bringing those to us during the course of this podcast. This podcast is, in fact, a special one for us because it's something new that we're going to try. We're going to actually record about 10 minutes here and now before the match starts, just doing a bit of kind of preview and to gauge our thoughts on what we think might happen. And then we're going to get together again at half-time, Graham and I, and discuss how we see the game, how the game has gone up to that point. And then we're going to do about another 10 minutes or so after the game so we can take the whole thing in review. And so you're obviously going to hear all of that in one lump after the event, so you can sort of laugh up your sleeves at the way, you know, us making kind of rash predictions of how we think the game will go or whatever. But it's a unique thing. It's a first time we've done this. We hope that you enjoy it, and if it works, we may well be doing the same thing during the course of the World Cup. But for now, let's turn our attention to the old Champions League final then, Graham. And well, Inter and Bayern, two different teams with two different styles and indeed two different routes to the final. Many people on that basis are sort of saying, well, it's got to be Inter that's got looking likely to win this because they've knocked out Chelsea and they've knocked out Barcelona, etc., etc., etc. Is it as clear-cut as that? Because I think Inter did have a bit of trouble beating Chelsea and Bayern have knocked out Manchester United and so on and so forth. So do you foresee it being close?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think Inter have been given the title of favourites purely on the quality of the teams that they've beaten, which you know are very, very high quality teams. But I think as well is that there is the perception, and quite rightly too, that that Bayern have really just sort of jammed their way to this final, and I think that's a little bit cruel. Although you know they did get a little help against Fiorentina,
yes.
But they've got their on merit really, thanks to in large part to the goals of Iron Robin, and you can't. I find it a lot harder to call than I think most people are. I think most people have said, "No, this is Inter's to lose." Really, Mourinho's just got, he's far too savvy in this, and Bayern are going to be found out for what they are. I'm not so sure. I mean, yeah, I just think, Bayern do have weaknesses in places, but then so do Inter. I mean, they didn't exactly breeze Serie A this year,
nope.
and certainly, but you know, on the other side of that, Bayern certainly didn't breeze the Bundesliga either.
Quite.
But of course, like they've both got a chance of getting a treble.
Yes, that's right, absolutely, yeah. And who'd have thought that with Bayern early on in the season?
Exactly. Yeah.
But they've come through, and let's say Inter are looking for a treble as well. And well, I mean, looking at the two teams who we've got tonight, who's sort of likely to be playing and who isn't, of course, the notable absentee for Bayern Munich is Frank Ribery, who's suspended. So we're going to get Thomas Müller, I think, coming in. And, of course, Ivica Olic is going to be there, and he's undoubtedly going to be one of the key players during the course of the match.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at that sort of midfield and front line, like with Robin, Schweinsteiger, Van Bommel, Altintar, Pollich and Muller there. I mean, there's no mugs there, are there, really?
No, indeed, not, no.
Certainly players that would you know, be knocking on the door of most top teams in Europe. Mm. It's behind them when you start worrying, though, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's the real sticking point for them, I would think. But you know, with Van Gaal or Van Gaal, as he's been called at the moment on Sky, is in charge. I mean, like, you know, a very seasoned campaigner and someone who probably can, you know, be a match for Mourinho as far as you know, the tactical side of the game is concerned.
Well, it's interesting, of course, you say that, because the two did work together at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Essentially, Mourinho was the, I was just going to say, the tactical genius behind Van Gaal, but I think that'd be somewhat unfair. But certainly, Van Gaal was the man in charge at Barcelona, with Mourinho helping him out in the background. The two know each other very well, so it'd be fascinating to see whether they can both kind of unlock their own approach to each other's approach to the game.
I think the other fascinating aspect of tonight's game is the two number 10s. Robin for Bayern and Schneider. For Inter, obviously,
yeah.
who were playing at Real Madrid last season. Obviously, the final is being played
at Real Madrid Stadium,
home ground, and obviously, like, one of them will be able to say at the end of the evening, "A big up yours to their old club."
Indeed, yes. We'll keep our eye open for that. Some of that at the end of the game, one way or the other. Just looking at the news for Inter, apparently Zanetti is set to move up from defence because Thiago Motta's suspended.
Mm.
Kivu's playing at left back, centre back Lucio has recovered from a calf injury, so he should be at the back with Walter Samuel. So,
yeah.
Of course, the thing that's
yeah,
sorry,
no place for any Italians in the Inter lineup, but that's not really any surprise. And there's only three on the bench as well, I think. Toldo, Balotelli and Materazzi.
Mm.
But yes, other than it's got a very South American feel to it, the Inter side, with three Brazilians and four Argentinians starting.
Yes, indeed, yeah. And of course, Bayern having a much more sort of cosmopolitan, continental approach in terms of the players that they've got in their side.
Yeah.
In terms of the going back to the sort of the approach on how both teams will play, I mean, of course, it's been noted that Inter's style is to kind of sit there in midfield and sort of, where possible, stop any counter-attacking and to kind of stifle things somewhat.
Mm.
Of course, the interesting thing that I've seen on a number of occasions this season with Bayern is that they've got players who actually are quite happy to maybe try a long shot from way out if necessary, which maybe other teams wouldn't do. They're trying maybe get a bit closer to goal and so on. That could be, you know, that could be a tactic which might just give them the impetus they need to crack open the game, maybe.
Well, the thing is, with players like Robin and Schweinsteiger, they've got players who you wouldn't, you know, bet against hitting the target from outside the box.
Mm.
They certainly know where the goal is, and they can certainly give it a bit of welly as well. So
absolutely,
you know,
I mean,
if for them, I mean, like, I think that's what Van Gaal's, one of his strengths is like knowing the strength of his individual players and playing up for it.
Yeah.
So I do think that they will have chances. It's interesting. Terry sent me a message earlier just to say that you know, he doesn't see Bayern winning, but he thinks it's going to be a close game, and he thinks, you know, that really Inter are going to tie up their the Bayern attack and hit them on the break.
Yes.
He reckons it's going to be 2-1 because he doesn't think the Bayern defence is going to be capable enough of keeping them out.
No, indeed.
If we see three goals in a Champions League final, I think we can say we've been entertained.
Yes, indeed. Do you know what? Without a single word of a lie, I was actually going to say exactly the same score as my prediction. I was going to go for 2-1 to Inter. I don't think I was going to go for 2-0 originally, but I think that Bayern are capable of getting one in this game. They've sort of scored plenty during the course of the campaign. I think they could do it. And just having a look at the old, I managed to purloin a sheet from a betting shop. I actually set foot in a betting shop. There's controversial for you. Just having a look here, and we've got Inter to win 2-1. That would be 8-1, which is a pretty reasonable price, I'd have thought, really. But certainly they're making Inter the odds-on favourite. They're 15-8 on to win, and Bayern are 7-5. So the bookies tending to go with Inter. But as has been said by one or two people before, you know, there have been Champions League finals in recent years where the favourite hasn't necessarily won. So there's plenty of potential for that, I suspect.
Yeah.
Any messages coming through before we adjourn until half-time there?
Well, I think people are just generally looking forward to it, really. I think it's just sort of like getting themselves comfortable. I think, you know, after a lovely sunny day, people are sort of like just heading back indoors, perhaps having a few bits of beers already to loosen themselves up. One rather amusing tweet from Mackenzie Collin is Hitler's team playing against Mussolini's in Franco Stadium. First person to spot Emperor Hirohito selling pies wins the Sudetenland. So that caught my eye. That made me laugh. So
there's an angle I hadn't originally seen, I must admit. But there we are. But thank you to him for bringing that to us. Anyway, as I speak, out on the pitch at the Bernabeu, they're doing giving us a demonstration of flamenco dancing and so on. And we've also got at the other end of the scale, Graham Souness's Fizzog. So I think on that note, we'd better adjourn for the time being. Graham, you and I will speak again at half time.
We shall.
And well, for you, the listener, I think we'll play a little bit of music now to separate the sections of the show, and we'll speak to you again in a moment, where for us it will be half time. So goodbye for now. Well, this is part two of our podcast, and you find us speaking when it's actually half time in the Champions League final. It's currently 1-0 to Inter, so we're off and running. Graham, it's been an open match. Both teams seem to be quite happy to go on the front foot in pursuit of a goal. But of course, Inter have been the more successful by virtue of the fact that they've actually got one at this stage. Well, I was just going to say, sort of, do you see that as being the foundation for Inter going on to win it? Or, I mean, there's been a lot of good attacking football, but I think Inter just showed in that instant with that one goal that they have the capability to really be the real deal here. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think it's shown the difference between the two teams, isn't it? Really, silly thing to say, I know, but. It's just the fact that Inter, you know, they haven't had a lot of chances, but the chance they did get, which, you know, wasn't down to any great build up play, it was a big punt up the field from the goalie. You know, they took it. I mean, it's not as if Bayern haven't had their opportunities in this half, and they have, but they've looked very, very disappointing up front, really.
Well, I was going to say, I think both sides have been cobbling together moves upfield, but for the want of some decent footwork at the end of it, I think maybe both teams might have had a few more decent chances on goal. But as you say, it was Diego Milito who scored with about 10 minutes of the first half left. And as you said, it was a long punt upfield, and well, he did really well actually. I mean, he sort of brought the ball under control.
Yeah, it was a nice little one too, wasn't it?
As you drift through the defence, and as you say, a very clinical finish. And the question marks, one has to say, sorry, getting into sort of Richard Keys mode here, but question marks over the defence and how they dealt with Milito there.
Yeah, I don't really think it's question marks. They were rubbish.
There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever.
I think David Cadiz was just basically saying, would you like porting cigars with your goal, Mr. Milito? I think it was... You know, maybe they were looking around at each other saying, this was never in the plan. What the hell went on there?
We had an incident earlier on in the first half. I think it was Maicon, and there was a dubious handball. How did you view that one?
It was obviously a handball.
It looked a bit more sort of ball to hand to me, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you put your hand above your head like that, then, you know...
You're fishing around something.
You are fishing around for it, isn't it? So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was given, put it that way.
Mm. Indeed. Melito, of course, one of the Argentinian stars who has managed to make it through to the squad, Diego Maradona's squad, whereas the likes of Zanetti and Cambiasso haven't.
Yeah.
Just looking at a replay at the moment, Schneider, who had a chance to score not long, just before the first half closed, could have made it 2-0.
Yeah.
And one would guess, perhaps, that they would now have the momentum to sort of go on. But I didn't see too much evidence there that Inter kind of then parked the bus once the first goal went in, even though there's only sort of 10 minutes remaining in the first half. But I guess as the game goes on, especially if they get a second goal, then they may have the right to do that, possibly.
Yeah, I got the feeling it opened up as soon as they scored. I mean, I think Bayern were pushing up, and I think that's going to be the pattern for the rest of the game, really. I think Bayern will be pushing up and up and up, and then and Inter will be hitting them on the break and scoring.
Yeah, I think it was Robin who had a bit of a long-range shot earlier on, and maybe by luck more than judgment or anything. I mentioned before the game started about the possibility that Bayern might try their luck from long range, and we've seen a couple of chances like that, and I think maybe they're going to have to find a way to obviously get through that tight Inter defence if they're to get into this match. It's going to be tricky, that's for sure, but it's all going Jose Mourinho's way there. I'm having memory lapse tonight. Of all the nights, I'm forgetting who the key people are. It's just ridiculous. I think I might be sacked from my post after this performance. But anyway, there we are. It's 1-0 to Inter then at half-time, going into the second half. And any messages coming through, Graham, that you've seen on Twitter, perhaps? Any message from Terry at all?
Well, no news from Terry. I think I don't think people are too surprised about the way the game has gone so far, really. It's just the fact that and as well that it was more a question of when Inter would score, I think, rather than if they would score. I think there's been lots more focus, as there always is, on the commentators. The feed that I'm looking at, there's a lot of comments in from the States. I think Kartik's just put one up saying that he just had an Anglophile text him saying, neither of these teams are any good, followed by the next text by neither would fare well in the Premiership, which when you consider the teams that these two sides
knocked out
to get here.
They pretty much accounted for all the Premiership's elite, of course, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Points that out in his next tweet.
We must find the name of that person and humiliate them before we get to the end of the podcast.
I think so. I think people are, they're going to stick with it. I don't think the Americans are going to switch over en masse to go and watch the Montreal Canadiens against the Philly Flyers. That's also going on the other side. So,
well, fair enough. I suppose yes.
I think they're going to stick with the match.
Yeah, good thing too. And we hope that you'll stick with this podcast as we venture into part three. We're off now to watch the second half. It's going to start in a few moments' time as we're speaking. So here's a little bit of music, and we'll join you for part three after the game has finished for our review of the entire final. Bye for now. Right, well, here we are. This is part three, final part of our special Sound of Football podcast this evening. We've been watching, of course, the Champions League final this season, 2009-2010, Inter versus Bayern. In the end, it was all pretty straightforward. It was a victory 2-0 to Inter Milan, something which I'm sure you'll have known of for quite some time. But for us, the game is not long finished. But Graham, in the end, it was a tale of two M's, wasn't it, really? It was Melito and Mourinho, and pretty straightforward stuff in the end.
Yeah, very straightforward, I think, in the end. Went entirely to plan, I'm sure, for Mourinho. I'm sure he had that whole thing scripted out beforehand. And, yeah, what can you say? Hats off to the guy. He made Bayern Munich... Well, he exposed Bayern Munich's failings perfectly, and walked away 2-0 winners quite deservedly. You can't really say much better than that, really.
No, I mean, it was all, it looked like it was a pretty much a formality. Although, having said that, when the second half kicked off, there was the indication that things might have gone differently, as in Muller, who had a chance pretty much straight from kickoff, got put through by, I think it was Altintop, and but for a better shot, I think they could have been back in the game, couldn't they?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's certainly when the second half eventually got underway, it was 2 minutes late, I think, with the players coming out. Yeah, they like Bayern certainly said, right, okay, let's sort this out straight away, and you know, that probably was their best chance of the game, really.
Yeah.
And they had a few chances that, you know, they made pretty weak efforts at, but yeah, that was their best opportunity. And had they equalised, it might have made up for a second for a very different second half. But as it was, it didn't. In fact, Milan almost scored immediately afterwards.
At the other end, yeah. Pandev's shot, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that was saved. But yeah, you've got to think, you know, I think Terry got it spot on when he said beforehand about, you know, the Bayern's defence not being the best, and both centre halves were shown up for what they were, for the goals, and you know, they looked pretty much hopeless against Melito. I mean, look, you know, fair play, Melito took his goals really well. I mean,
he certainly did, yeah.
With the first one, the 1-2 there, and the shoulder drop he gave for the second goal, really nice goals. You know, and also when they scored them, you know, slightly against the run of play.
Indeed.
But you know, I don't think Bayern ever really looked that aggressive in front of goal. They never looked like they were really that close to actually getting one back. Did you not think so?
Yeah, I agree completely, really. I mean, it was quite an open game. I was quite surprised how open it was. I thought maybe Inter might sort of stifle Bayern a bit more when they were on the ball, but it was they gave them plenty of opportunity to play the ball around, but they didn't seem to have any bite, really, their teeth.
I think that's right, but I think they sort of shut the door on them. It reminded me a bit of Ancelotti's tactics against Liverpool in the second time they played in 2007, you know, when basically he allowed Gerrard space and the ball, but he didn't have any options, and so he was basically like left out on a limb. And I think that's what they did with Robben. They knew Robben was going to be out wide right, and he was going to try and cut in and onto his left foot, and they seemingly allowed him to do that, but whenever he did, he'd just cut in and there'd be a wall of about three defenders in front of him just to sort of like say, right, okay, yes, you can go this way. Go on, keep on going.
Yeah.
And that would be it. He'd end up losing the ball, or it would fall in effectively out on the other side of the penalty area, and nothing would really come of it. And he looked frustrated, and he looked, at the end of the evening, he just looked absolutely clueless, really.
Yeah, he looked proper miserable, he certainly did.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really till the very end that Inter properly did the old park the bus routine, really, but they could afford not to, I suppose, in many ways. They were pressing to the end, Bayern, but nothing came of their efforts. So there we go. So 2-0 it was, and for what it's worth, token gesture on our part to Howard Webb, the only Englishman playing tonight. He, luckily for him, didn't have a particularly aggressive or explosive game to referee, but for what it's worth, he put in a good performance. I suppose credit where it's due on that one. Now, we mentioned earlier on about sort of Twitter messages coming in. We had a few. Kevin McCauley said Cambiasso and Zanetti are a brick wall. This just in, Diego Maradona is stupid. Fair enough. Our friend Captain RJ Spalding commented on the timing of the final. He said this just isn't right. I miss that got work tomorrow feeling. I totally subscribe to that one as well. I completely understand what you mean, but I think we'll get used to it in due course. And he also said that he made a comment. Lahm learns that physics does indeed apply to him, and one can't actually walk through five players. And I think certainly we agree with you on that one, Captain RJ Spalding. Inter's defence very resolute, very well organised, and managed to get rid of any particular threat that Bayern could generate. And finally, a message R. Whittle put on Twitter earlier on. Congrats, Inter. You now join Aston Villa in beating Bayern Munich in a European Cup final. Not a message I would have thought that would have been strewn all over the web and all over Twitter this evening, but I suppose statistically you are quite right there, R. Whittle. So there we go. So that was that. And we mentioned betting earlier on. I was saying about the odds on 2-1 win. Well, I was just looking at my coupon here, and never let it be said that bookmakers don't know anything, because on their list of first goal scorers, who's at the top of the list? Milito, 5-1 it would have been. You could have got on him. And on Inter winning 2-0, you'd have got 8-1, which I think was pretty good odds. Not that we're condoning betting, you understand. We're not sort of trying to lead you into a life of debauchery or anything, but just on reflection, there we are. So that's that. So Inter then win their first title since 1965. A 45-year wait. It's almost difficult to believe, really. And there's all the many giants of European football that we've witnessed over the years. Your Ajaxes and even your Bayerns, if you like, and what have you. But I would have thought Inter would have won the European Cup more recently, but turns out it's not the case. They win the treble this year, a sterling performance, and no uncertain terms, it goes down to the leadership of Jose Mourinho. So well done to him. And as they say in France, the trophy with the big ears goes to Inter Milan. I think on that note, we will say thank you very much indeed for listening. We hope you enjoyed this Champions League special edition that we've done, and well, I reckon it was enough of a success that we can now carry this forward into a full-blown trial throughout the World Cup. So there we are. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we hope to have the company of your good selves again soon. So bye-bye for now.